Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The World for Sale, Money, Power, and the Traders Who Barter the Earth's Resources by Javier Blas opens a rarely seen door into the commodity trading industry, a realm that quietly influences the cost and availability of oil, metals, and food around the globe. Rather than focusing on producers or politicians alone, the book centers on the merchants and trading houses that sit in the middle, moving enormous volumes of raw materials and shaping outcomes through financing, logistics, intelligence, and risk-taking. It traces how these traders grew from opportunistic middlemen into sophisticated power brokers with private networks, deep access to capital, and relationships that stretch from boardrooms to authoritarian capital. The narrative explains how fortunes are made in moments of crisis and dislocation, when information advantages and the ability to deliver cargoes become decisive. Blas presents commodity trading as a key lens for understanding globalization, energy security, and the hard limits of markets, revealing why everyday economic stability often depends on actors most people have never heard of. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the hidden architecture of commodity trading houses, a central theme, is how major trading firms operate as an alternative infrastructure for global commerce. The book describes trading houses not just as brokers, but as organizations that combine market speculation with real-world execution, chartering ships, leasing storage, arranging insurance, and coordinating delivery to refineries, smelters, and grain terminals. Their edge comes from integration across the supply chain, which allows them to arbitrage differences in location, timing, and quality. The narrative emphasizes that these firms often remain privately held, secretive, and culturally distinct from banks and producers, yet they handle flows large enough to sway national budgets. It also explains the role of trade finance, including prepayment deals and collateralized lending, which lets traders buy resources from cash-strapped producers and sell onward to customers with stronger credit. By tying together physical logistics and financial engineering, traders can profit in stable times and thrive during disruption. Understanding this architecture clarifies why traders can move faster than governments, why they can keep supplies flowing when sanctions or conflict break normal channels, and why their operational capabilities create both resilience and moral hazard in the global economy. Secondly, power, politics, and the business of doing deals with states. Another important topic is the close relationship between commodity traders and political power. The book shows how access to oil, metals, and grains is inherently geopolitical, and how traders become indispensable intermediaries for states seeking revenue, influence, or survival. Trading firms negotiate with national oil companies, ministries, and politically connected intermediaries, often in environments where rule of law is weak and institutions are contested. The narrative explores how traders structure contracts that provide quick cash to governments in return for future deliveries, a lifeline for regimes facing budget crises or international isolation. These arrangements can stabilize supplies for consuming nations, but they can also entrench corruption and reduce transparency around public resources. The book also highlights how traders navigate sanctions, export controls, and diplomatic pressure, sometimes adapting routes and counterparties to keep material moving. This topic underscores that commodity markets are not purely economic arenas. They are arenas of statecraft where leverage comes from controlling flows. For readers, it reframes headlines about energy shortages or price spikes as outcomes shaped by networks of dealmakers who operate at the intersection of commerce and sovereign power. Thirdly, risk, information, and the art of profiting from volatility, commodity trading rewards those who manage uncertainty better than competitors, and the book spends significant attention on how traders think about risk. Unlike many financial investors, commodity merchants face layered exposure, price moves, shipping delays, storage constraints, counterparty defaults, and sudden regulatory shifts. The book explains that information advantages are often earned through on-the-ground intelligence, relationships with producers and buyers, and the ability to read logistics signals such as vessel movements and inventory changes. Traders also use hedging and derivatives, but the emphasis is on combining paper tools with physical optionality, like having storage available or ships positioned to redirect cargoes when prices swing. Periods of crisis, wars, embargoes, and market dislocations feature prominently because they create extreme spreads between regions and products, and they reward firms that can finance cargoes and execute quickly. The discussion also points to the darker side of volatility, the temptation to push ethical boundaries, exploit regulatory gaps, or take oversized positions when the upside is enormous. Overall, the topic reveals commodity trading as a discipline that merges analytics with street-level pragmatism, where the best operators turn chaos into structured opportunity while constantly managing the risk of spectacular losses. Fourthly, oil as the central arena of modern commodity influence. oil trading emerges as the flagship case for understanding the industry's scale and leverage. The book portrays crude and refined products as a market where logistics, pricing benchmarks, and political constraints interact in complex ways. Traders profit not only by predicting direction, but by moving barrels across geographies, blending grades, timing deliveries around refinery needs, and exploiting temporary bottlenecks. The narrative illustrates how shifts in OPEC policy, conflicts, pipeline outages, and sanctions can reorder trade flows overnight, creating opportunities for firms able to source alternative supplies or provide financing to struggling producers. It also underscores how pricing in oil often depends on a set of reference benchmarks and assessed prices, and how traders' activity can influence liquidity and perception in these key markers. Readers gain insight into why oil shocks ripple quickly into inflation, transport costs, and national security debates, and why trading houses can appear as behind-the-scenes stabilizers during shortages while also benefiting from the very volatility that alarms policymakers. By focusing on oil, the book makes the abstract idea of commodity power concrete, showing how control over movement, storage, and credit can matter as much as control over the resource underground. Lastly, ethics, transparency, and the future of resource trade. A final major theme is the tension between the necessity of traders and the accountability gaps that surround them. The book portrays an industry that can supply crucial liquidity and logistics to keep commodities flowing, yet often operates with limited public scrutiny because many firms are private and their contracts are confidential. This creates persistent questions about bribery risks, environmental impacts, and the distribution of value between citizens of resource-rich countries and the intermediaries who monetize those resources. The narrative also considers the growing pressure from regulators, banks, activists, and investors for tighter compliance, beneficial ownership transparency, and stronger anti-corruption controls. At the same time, global transitions such as decarbonization and the rise of critical minerals introduce new arenas where trading expertise will matter, from cobalt and lithium supply chains to the reshaping of oil demand. The book suggests that the industry's adaptability is a defining trait. Traders will pivot to new commodities, new routes, and new financing structures as politics and technology change. For readers, this topic provides a framework for judging reforms realistically, recognizing both the value traders provide and the systemic risks that arise when huge economic power sits behind closed doors. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want to understand how the global economy actually functions beneath official narratives. Business and finance professionals, policy and security analysts, journalists, students of international relations, and curious general readers who follow energy and inflation. It benefits the reader by supplying a practical mental model of commodity markets, showing that prices are shaped not only by supply and demand, but by logistics, credit, political bargaining, and the unique capabilities of trading houses. That understanding can sharpen how you interpret headlines about sanctions, shortages, and sudden price spikes, and it clarifies why some countries remain resilient while others crumble when trade routes or financing disappear. Compared with many books on energy or globalization that focus on governments or big oil companies, The World for Sale stands out by spotlighting the intermediary layer that frequently decides what moves, when it moves, and who gets paid. Its focus on traders as power brokers helps connect distant events to everyday consequences like fuel costs and food prices. If you want a deeper view of money, influence, and risk in real-world markets, this book is worth buying for its industry-specific lens and its ability to make a secretive sector intelligible. If you would like to support Javier Blah, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.